The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, March 9th, 2020.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, my co-producer, and the love of my life, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Oh, what a beautiful day it is here in Sonoma County. And I'm glad. I'm glad to be alive. I'm glad to have another day on this beautiful, beautiful planet that we all live on. Well, I have two special guests with me today. Joining me in the studio is Jill Ravitch, Sonoma County's first female district attorney, and Sharon Wright, a governmental relations and public affairs consultant who was the fourth woman mayor for the city of Santa Rosa. And you know, I just want to let folks know the reason that I chose these women to be on, and let me tell you something that's very, very exciting for me and quite an honor, is because they have done so much in the community. And they place themselves in positions where they actually can make decisions and support people and support women. That is really, really important. They've had a lifetime of that. And it's very important as women that we have these examples in front of us so we understand that the possible is possible. You know, oftentimes we're told as young women, you know, get a husband or whatever went on. I mean, I know in my generation what was expected of me, because I was my mother's supposedly most beautiful daughter, and I was supposed to marry a doctor. I mean, it just didn't work out that way. But these women chose careers and moved a lot of things forward, and I think it's very important that we hear from them, hear how the challenges they met and some of the ways that they met some of those challenges. I think it's very important for us as women to have those kind of histories. Well, yesterday was International Women's Day, and I want to provide a little bit of history. You know, oftentimes people forget that the International Women's History Alliance, it was called the project, now it's called the Alliance, was actually founded here in Sonoma County by a team of wonderful, wonderful women. And I have to say that I was at Sonoma State in 1973, and I remember walking with Molly Murphy McGregor, and we were talking about the fact that we couldn't find any women in art. You know, there was no history. There was nothing. And we should walking, you know, going to class saying, hey, this has got to stop. So a special shout out to, of course, J.J. Wilson from Sonoma State, who actually supported the project. And here we are some 40 years later. And wow, 100 years we're celebrating since we got the vote. So it's just an amazing time. So let me give you a little bit of history about the Women's National Women's Day. In 1909 was the first National Women's Day was observed in the United States on February 28th. I couldn't believe this. It was designed by the Socialist Party of America, designed this day in honor of the 1908 garment workers' strike in New York, where women protested against working conditions. You know, we used to go to work and we couldn't even they didn't even give us a break. I mean, can you imagine going to work maybe 14, 15 hours and not even having a 15-minute coffee break? I mean, it's really stunning when you think about it. Well, the International Women's Day was later on moved to March 8th in 1913. The day aimed to help nations worldwide eliminate discrimination against women. It was also focused on helping women gain full and equal participation in global development. Well, here we are. Here we are in 2020, and we still have the same issues. I mean, it is just amazing. It is just, I have to scratch my head when I think about it. When I think about my own life, you know, what it's like to be a woman, what it's like to, you know, try to carve out a career for yourself. It's amazing that here in 1913, they were still discussing the same thing about women and discrimination, of course, salary inequality and all the other stuff. We still don't even have the Equal Rights Amendment. I mean, that just blows me away. It's just amazing. Well, anyway, a shout out to Leslie Graves and all those who showed up to show celebrate Rosie the Riveter. I'm so sorry I had to miss it. I was feeling under the weather, and added to that, my dear friend Nancy and Harold Rogers' son, John Rogers, passed away at the young age of 35. It was a sudden shock. He was special to all of us, and my condolences to the Rogers family. You know, it's really interesting. You know, there have been many situations where young people are involved, young people are killed. And I've often wondered, I would say to myself, what is it like when the mother gets that phone call? What does it feel like? I mean, it must be horrible, you know, and I could only visualize it. I can only say if it were me, you know, this is how I would react. But I never knew what it really felt like until Saturday morning. You know, I felt the pain and the anguish of it all. You know, it was hearing that John was very traumatic for me. It was the first time I ever experienced the grief of a mother hearing about her son's death 15 minutes before she knocked on my door. So it was the full impact of the emotion. And it took me 15 minutes. I couldn't believe it. And maybe even more than 15 minutes to calm her down and finally get the information out, what happened. Well, I felt the pain and I felt the anguish and I felt the sorrow. And yet, of course, I went into self-reflection as I held my friend's hand while she cried. I could not think of all the mothers who lose their children. Some suddenly, some through accident, some through illness, some because of war, some because they're killed on the street. It was a stunning moment. And you know what I could really feel at that time, and we all need to think about that. It's such a mystery. You know, we don't know how we came into the world. We don't know where we go when we leave, but it's just this divine mystery. And I got to the feeling, I start thinking, I mean, here I'm holding her hand and I'm thinking of all these things. We have such a short amount of time, some more than others. I recognize there was a wake-up call happening here. I was awake, but John was no longer awake. And when I left, you know, later on, when I left their house, you know, we had all kinds of people. I mean, I couldn't believe, I felt we were having a block party. I did not know that my neighbors had so much family and so many friends. It was like this huge block party going on. And when I walked out of the house, I looked up at that blue sky. I mean, the clouds were just so beautiful. I mean, they were so white and they were just shining. And I looked at it and I said to myself, you know, Elaine, it's really good to be alive. And as I looked at the cloud, I realized that I'm living in this divine mystery. You know, the clouds, they're way out there. Here I am on Earth, and I'm looking at the clouds. And I'm thinking to myself, what a beautiful world. You know, there's a song, What a Beautiful World, and I really felt that way. And suddenly I realized that all life is such a miracle. Every baby is a miracle. And that was another interesting thing that happened. There was a child born to the family. And the most adorable, it was 9 weeks, and I couldn't believe, like, that little baby was trying to communicate with us. It was putting its arms out. And the grandfather, Harold, is so devastated because of what happened to his son. And here's this little new life reaching out and stretching out and just... I just started to cry when I looked at that baby, and I said, this is what it's all about, folks. We've all been given the gift of life. None of us know how long we're going to be here. None of us know how long the gift is going to happen. And the fact that we're here, you know, I really recommend to people to listen to the song called The Galaxy. It is just amazing. It reminds us about the universe that we live in. But it's a miracle that we're even here. And I couldn't help but think, imagine if each and every one of us just looked at each other as this divine miracle that came from we don't know where. Maybe, just maybe, we would have a chance to have peace on Earth. Well, I know that's a lot to think about. And, you know, the way that I'm handling my sadness is by reaching out and by expressing how I feel. And I think it's very important. And to all the mothers out there who lost children, my heart goes out to you. And to the Rogers family, condolences. And later on, when we take a musical break, I'm going to play a special song to remind us that no matter what we believe in, life is a miracle, and miracles do happen. And every day is a gift. It's a beautiful gift. It's a gift to get up in the morning on Monday morning and to be able to come here and do this radio show, interview these wonderful women that I have in front of me. What a gift it is. And you know, as I've announced so many times, March 18th, and you can send me a birthday wish. It's going to be my birthday. I'm going to be the big 80. And I'm saying to myself, how do I act? But then after what happened with John, I'm not asking that question anymore. I'm just getting up in the morning and saying, thank you, Creator, for this wonderful day. Thank you for this opportunity to be on the radio. Thank you for this opportunity to share and to be who I am. And just thank you, period. Well, that's a lot to think about, but that's what Women's Spaces is all about. So I have a few announcements to make, and this should be fun. Oh, my goodness. This is the big conversation of the year, intersectional feminism. Most of us are scratching our heads saying, what is intersectional feminism? So if you want to know about it, on Saturday, March 14th, from 2 to 3 p.m. at the Santa Rosa JC in the Bertinelli Student Center, they were going to be having a conversation. It's going to be a roundtable conversation, and it's presented by the 2020 Suffragette program that's happening to celebrate 100 years since we got the vote. And I really encourage women to go. Women and men, this is a very important topic. It's something that our young people are talking a lot about. Is something that they believe in, and I think it's very important to get ourselves educated. Well, I got a special email from my dear friend Debbie McKay from the League of Women Rotors. Hi, Debbie. I hope you're listening. They're going to be having a special event that's going to be Saturday, March 14th from 2 to 4, and it's going to be California Women Win the Vote. So they're going to talk all about California winning the vote. And it's in Windsor at the Windsor Regional Library at 9291 Old Redwood Highway, Building 100. That's going to be Saturday, March 14th from 2 to 4 p.m. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. It sounds like a really wonderful event. And I've been talking about this. I wrote it, and by the way, the Gazette is on the street. The Sonoma County Gazette is on the street. I've got two wonderful articles in there. You know, of course, I write for the Snippets for Santa Rosa, and then I have a wonderful article on from Suffrage to Me Too. I mean, very amazing, amazing article. I have one more announcement here. Actually, I have two. On Sunday, March 15th, and I will be there. This sounds really exciting. It's a community summit. It's called It's Up to Us, and it's presented by all the environmental groups here in the Sonoma County. And they're going to have wonderful, wonderful speakers. Daily Axe, Executive Director, Trenton Heckey. Boy, some of the names that people have is just amazing. T-R-A-T-H-E-N, that's the first name, H-E-C-K-I, Trenton Hackey. And then a dear little friend of mine, Tacy Crocker of the North Bay Organizing Project, is also going to be speaking. Plus, there'll be people from the Sunrise Group, the youth groups. It's very important that everybody come. And I really try to encourage adults to come with their young people because it's important to understand what they're talking about, what they're protesting about, what they're yelling about when it comes to the environment. So this is going to be a community summit, going to be happening Sunday, March 15th from 1:30 to 6, and it's going to be happening at the Oddfellows Hall at 545 Pacific Avenue. And I have their brochure here, but I have no contact information. But it sounds like a great group, and it's going to be Sunday, March 15th from 1:30 to 6, and that's at the Oddfellows Hall. One last thing I have to say about events. I want you to save the date. You know, this is the reason that, you know, As I mentioned many times on the air, I am the president for the National Organization for Women, the Sonoma County Chapter, and as part as Earth Day, and I'm very excited to let you know that my co-producer, Ken Norton, is also going to be there because I found out from him, he let me know the big secret, that when they first buried the first car, what was that, 1970? 1970, he was part of the group. It was called Engineers for Peace, and they bought, what was it, a Maverick?
It was a different group.
Oh, okay, but it was a Maverick he bought? They bought a Maverick, and they buried it. And we actually have a picture of Ken. We found a picture with all these students on a mountaintop, and we're almost 90% sure.
Around the edge of the pit.
Oh, around the edge of the pit where the car was being where the car was being buried. So he's going to be there, and he's going to be telling his story about what happened and how they did it. And then after that, this is why I want you to save the date. That's going to be Sunday, April 19th, 2020, that's this year, we're going to be presenting Lilith Rogers in Rachel Carson Returns. Now, why did we pick this? Rachel Carson Returns was written about 58 years ago. 58 years ago, she gave us that warning. You know, and here we are. We're still struggling. It's the same thing like women and equal pay. You know, it's the same thing. It says it's just, it seems like it takes too much time for these things to happen. And I'm really encouraging young people to come. Why? Because our history is our strength. When you see where this all began, you begin to get an idea, and it helps you to move forward. And it also lets you know you're not nutty. You know, because she was predicting things that are happening. We have this horrible, horrible virus that's going along. Nobody's mentioning it, that it could possibly be because of climate change. When you read Rachel Carson's book, she predicted these things. She predicted pandemics because the sprays were killing the insects. The insects protect us, believe it or not. So it's a very, very interesting piece of history. So that's going to be Rachel Carson Returns. Mark your calendars, Sunday, April 19, 2020, from 7 to 9 p.m. And the event is going to be put on by the National Organization of Women, for Women, with in collaboration with the Arlene Francis Center. And I want to thank the Arlene Francis Center. They made it so easy for us to do this, and it's kind of a fundraiser for now, and also a fundraiser for the Arlene Francis Center. So I really, really want to encourage people to come on out and enjoy it. Well, life is very interesting. So before we get into this interview, I picked a very special song. As many of you, I hope you remember, I interviewed Becky Hobbs. She's a wonderful, wonderful country western singer. And she wrote this song called Angels Among Us. And what's so interesting about the song, I just love it. And it's such a powerful song, but the song has such a history. Once she recorded it, Alabama, the group Alabama, took it on, and they end up winning an award. I believe it was called an Emmy, and they end up winning about four or five awards around this song. And then the St. Jude, that's the Danny Thomas organization that for children with cancer, they picked up the song, and it has become one of their themes. And the reason I chose it is not just, I want to dedicate dedicated to the Rogers family, and because in times of grief, it's always good to know. Or in times of trouble, like now, we're all so freaked out about this virus. You know, it's time to remind ourselves that we live in a mysterious universe. And I don't know what they are. Are they angels? Are they vibrations? Who knows? But, you know, every once in a while, like, you know, everybody, I know everybody has a parking fairy. I mean, let's face it, everybody has a parking fairy. You know, you're, okay, parking fairy, find me a parking place. Well, you know, it's those little things, these little mysterious things that we talk about and we do, and these little superstitions that we have, we never really know what kind of impact they have. But this song, I don't know, it just somehow reminds me that no matter what is happening in life, somehow, some way, it's all going to work out. We're going to come to some sort of conclusion, some sort of way to solve our problems, but somehow it works out. But in between, it's all that drama and trauma and hurt and pain and the big question, why? You know, never ask why. There's no answer to why. I mean, why? I mean, when I was a journalism major, that's what my teacher always used to say to me. Stay away from why, Elaine. It's like going down a dark black tunnel. I mean, sometimes why is important, but in situations like death and things like that, there's just no answer. So let's go ahead and listen to this wonderful song, Angels Among Us. And when we come back, I'm going to have the honor of interviewing District Attorney Jill Ravitch and Sharon Wright, who is the former mayor of Santa Rosa City Council and is a governmental consultant. So let's go ahead and listen to Angels Among Us by Becky Hobbs.
I was walking home from school on a cold winter day. Took a shortcut through the woods and I lost my way. It was getting late and I was scared and alone. Then a kind old man took my hand and led me home. Mama couldn't see him, though he was standing there. But I knew in my heart he was the answer to my prayer. Oh, sent down to us from somewhere up above, they come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, to guide us with the light of love. Life held troubled times and had me down on my knees. There's always been someone to come along and comfort me. A kind word from a stranger to lend a helping hand. A phone call from a friend just to say they understand. Now ain't it kind of funny, at the dark end of a road, someone lights the way with just a single ray of hope. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to teach us how to give, to guide us with the light of love. They wear so many faces, show up in the strangest places, to grace us with their mercy in our time of need. Love.
May we all be guided by the light of love. Oh, what a beautiful song. For you just joining in, you are listening to KBBS 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners the opinions here expressed are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, or members, or Women's Spaces. Welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces, and I am your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest. And when I call your name, just say hello so we can identify your voice. District Attorney Jill Ravitch. Welcome, Jill.
Good morning.
Well, good morning to you. And Sharon Wright, who is the former mayor of, the fourth mayor of the city of Santa Rosa. Welcome.
That would be correct. Welcome to you. I mean, we're glad to be here. Thanks for inviting us.
Right? Oh, it's so much fun. I'm just so happy. And I want to just tell folks, you know, these are two very, very influential women. And I don't always agree with them. We have our little differences here and there. But one thing I know that we agree on, and that is women in leadership make a big difference. Would you agree about that?
Absolutely.
Totally agree.
Do I have your vote? Well, anyway, before we start, I would like to tell the folks just a little bit about you. Is that okay?
Sure.
Sharon Wright is a governmental relations and public affairs consultant in Sonoma County. She served on the Santa Rosa City Council for 12 years and served as mayor for 3 terms.
Yes.
That is amazing. That is amazing. During that time, she served 10 years representing the 9 cities and county on the Metropolitan Transportation Commission. Currently, she serves on the board of directors of the Santa Rosa Memorial Hospital and Burbank Hospital Development Corporation.
Housing.
Pardon?
Burbank Housing.
Burbank Housing. I'm sorry about that. And in April, I found out she's going to be seated on the Summit Bank Board. What an honor that is.
That was a real honor. Yes, indeed. I'm looking forward to it.
When I read both of your bios, I ask myself, where do you get the energy and time to create all the wonderful things that you've created? Well, let me tell you one more thing about Sharon. Her community activities include Leadership Santa Rosa, founding director of Tomorrow's Leader Today, and Goodwill Industries. In 2002, she was the first person to be named the best community business leader by the readers of Sonoma County Business Magazine and was named Distinguished Citizen of the Year in 1996. Wow, what an honor. What an honor. That is amazing. That is amazing. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Sharon? Anything that maybe we've left out?
Oh, you did a beautiful job. Thank you.
Just, I want to make sure you're close to the microphone.
Enough, yeah.
Now, that's much better. So let me talk a little bit about Jill Ravitch. I remember, it feels like yesterday, when I met Jill Ravitch at the No Name Group, and I remember she's running for district attorney. To me, that was like, wow. You know, my mother was only a first-generation American, and for her, government and women in government was such a big deal, and I was just amazed. And now you're almost halfway to your second term.
Third term.
Oh, my goodness. Third term. Well, Jill Ravitch was the first woman to serve as district attorney in Sonoma County. She took office in 2011, and is now serving her third term. She's a graduate of UC Berkeley. She attended the University of San Francisco Law School, and upon graduation in 1987, began her career at the Alameda County District Attorney's Office. So you were kind of like an assistant district attorney, or what was that? What was we?
I was a deputy district attorney. I was a trial attorney.
Oh, for heaven's sake. So you moved to Sonoma County in 1990 and joined Sonoma County District Attorney's Office, where she earned recognition for her prosecution skills, including many complex and high-profile sexual assault, domestic violence, gang violence, and homicide case. Well, you know, Joe, what I'd like to do is I'm reading your bio, and I'd like to hear from you a little bit more, rather than just tell folks about it. I know you're very, very involved with the Family Justice Center. Can you talk a little bit about that? That when you developed that, what was that? What was your motivation behind that?
Great. Well, the Family Justice Center opened in August 2011, and I was really proud to be there and open the center. I have to give a lot of credit to other community leaders who brought the idea to Sonoma County. It was here. It was in process before I was elected district attorney, but I've taken it forward. We've served thousands and thousands of clients over the last 9 years, and I'm just really proud of the work that we do there. It's really phenomenal.
From my understanding, when you got involved prior to that, there were some women organizations that were handling legal things for women. But what was happening is that you'd have to send them over here and send them over there. But the way you set it up was that it's like a one stop. Is that true?
Yeah, it's a collaborative approach to provide wraparound services to victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, elder abuse, and child abuse. And what we did is a survey, and we looked at all the different agencies that provide service in the county. We asked them to step up, provide an advocate on site, so that we have all of these on-site advocates ready, willing, and anxious to provide services to clients who come to the center every day, and they're provided free of charge.
So do you feel that that has really stopped some of the issues that they were having where people were not getting the services they want?
I think it has helped people get away from the abuse that they were putting up with in their home or their personal lives. Additionally, I think it's gotten more people to come out of that darkness. The numbers of domestic violence continue to rise, but what that tells me is that more people are accessing services who in the past might have stayed in an abusive situation. So it's been really effective in that regard. And now we're actually expanding. We have a voices group for women who are survivors of domestic violence that come together and offer support to one another. They meet on a monthly basis. We also have something called Camp Hope for the children of domestic violence survivors who get to go up into the woods and spend a week together in a therapeutic camp just having a great time.
Well, that's amazing. These improvements.
Right. That's so wonderful.
I know. It's very, very exciting to hear about that. Is there anything else that you'd like to add? I know that you've been really involved with the Human Trafficking Task Force.
Yeah, we have a Human Trafficking Task Force. We just finished Human Trafficking Awareness Month. We're always trying to educate the public in terms of what's happening here in the community. Right now, we're really trying to, with laser focus, to address, obviously, the homeless population. And I'm sure Sharon has a lot of experience about that, having served in public office. It's a population that has a lot of problems that we're trying to solve, and hopefully now the county and the various cities are coming together with governmental agencies to work collaboratively, like we do at the Family Justice Center, to help these people get a good footing in the community so that they can move forward and get away from the homeless situation that they've been in.
You wanted to say something, Sharon?
I do. I want to add, because it's such an important, critical issue in our community, and I've been on Memorial Hospital's board for the last 11 years, and we have made, you know, acute care hospitals are making that transition from being acute care to really dealing with the whole person and really being involved in community. And when you talked about the human trafficking, but through our community reinvestment program, the hospital tie 10%, excuse me, of our net profit every year to go back into the community. So what's great is we don't have to look at government 100% to solve those problems. We're having private sector organizations like Memorial and Sutter and others that are investing in that. I know we've put $1 million in Caritas Village, and we're now starting a program to do more outreach on the human trafficking. So I think it's encouraging, it's positive, and it's what we should all be doing rather than just saying government take care of everything. We all have a role to play.
Well, that's the word community.
It is totally the word community.
And when community comes together, they make impact. You know, I mean, as officials, you know, you listen to the community.
Absolutely.
Especially when they come out in numbers.
Yeah.
Well, let's begin the interview. You know, the whole idea behind Women's Spaces is really to let women know about other women and also to encourage and to uplift, you know, because we need to have a voice. You know, I'm always complaining when I look at the Press Democrat and I see the letters to the editor, there's always more men than women. Women tend not to reach out as much as men do. So the reason that I decided to have the whole month of March dedicated just to Women's, you know, History Month and to special women is to give encouragement. So let's start with you, Sharon. What motivated you to begin to get in politics? And as a woman, what were some of your challenges? I mean, you served as mayor for that many times. I mean, that's amazing. I don't think I've ever seen that.
I don't think it's happened in Santa Rosa.
Yeah, So talk about what motivated you. What were some of your challenges?
Well, go back in history. It was the early 90s, and there was beginning to be a shift on the city council, and some of the business community were concerned. They said, what's happening? You know, we've always had the good old boys on our city council, and decisions were made at Max Deli sort of thing, and we've got an election coming up. We better find out what people are thinking about. So they hired a professional survey person and who went out and asked the question, what's the profile of an electable candidate in the city of Santa Rosa? And to their surprise, they came back. It was a woman between 35 and 50 that had children in public schools, that had worked in local businesses, that had worked in nonprofits, that had all that, and it was like chick, 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 and they came and they said, the folks
you're the
that
right,
did this, and they said, this is you. And by the way, if you would run, we'll support you. And I said, I was running Leadership Santa Rosa at the time, so I had a good handle on the community, I felt. And I said, if I run, I intend to win. I'm not doing this just for an exercise in futility. And so we did. And I was also running the Tomorrow's Leaders Today program. It was the first year for them, and they got so excited. And one of the things I love to do about, I don't like to talk about it, I like to model. You know, I don't want to say this is what you do, I like to model it. And so the kids got very involved in my campaign. They walked precincts for me, and to this day they talk about that was one of the more better learning experiences. So I came within Jim Pedgriff was running for re-election at that time. He was the incumbent mayor, and I came within 105 votes of him, so I felt really good about that. The challenges, I thought I knew the community, but when you get in local government, it's really very different. And so the learning curve is something you really have to struggle with. And so learning the language, learning the culture within the organization was a big challenge. But it was, without question, one of the most rewarding, exciting, fulfilling 12 years of my life. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
How about you, Jill? I mean, what a wonderful story, really.
Yeah,
I mean,
especially
the kids, the young people, because young people, you know, we don't have civic classes anymore,
no.
Which is really a shame. You know, they don't understand how government works. Well, how about you, Jill?
So I had a very different experience. Nobody came to me and said, why don't you run? I left my office in 2004 because I didn't support the incumbent. And then when the election came around, nobody else stepped up. And the person who I had hoped would run said on the last day, forget it, I'm out, I don't want to make the effort. I said, that's it, then I'm running. And so I marched into the registrar of voters and started filling out paperwork I'd never seen. And by the end of the day, which was the last day to get in, I was registered to run against the incumbent. And I ran like hell ever since. And like Sharon, I came very close to winning. Ultimately, the election wasn't called for a full 2 weeks because we were so close. And at the end of it, I came within 1%, which is pretty phenomenal considering I was running against the incumbent. And it was, just as you've described, the most exciting thing. I always say it's a little bit like Space Mountain at Disneyland. If you've ever ridden Space Mountain, the roller coaster in the dark, it's the most exciting, exhilarating, and scariest experience of your life.
Yep.
And you never know what's coming next. And when it's all over, you can't even believe the ride you've had. It was phenomenal.
Well, that leads to a good next question then. So where do you get the tenacity or the courage or the chutzpah to move forward? When you say, you know, at the end it's scary, but what is it inside of you that says, you know, I'm just scared, but, you know, I'm going forward, you know?
I think you have to believe in what you're doing. I felt very strongly as a career prosecutor that this community was not being well served. I was very distressed at what I was seeing happen in the area of prosecution. So when nobody else stepped up, I said, okay, then I'm all in. And as I said, I didn't win, but 4 years later, I was continuing to see an office in disarray. I was getting a lot of encouragement to give it another shot. So I jumped in again, and fortunately, I was lucky enough to win the second time around. And I'd learned a lot from the first run.
But
so that when I ran again.
But the fact that you had the courage, I mean, many people, when they lose, they could become devastated. You know, where did you get that?
I actually think loss makes you better. I think that when you look at situations where you've lost something or you've failed, it's from there that you really get the empowerment to succeed the next time around, because you learn so much about yourself.
Yeah, I studied with Unity, and one of the things they say when you have a failure, or you fail, find out the facts and try again, or a mistake. If you make a mistake, it's a mistake. Try again, it's a mistake. Or, you know, it's interesting the way those things work out. Well, talk a little bit. Who wants to start this first? Who were some of your mentors? What are some of the women that just popped out at you that said, I want to be that? You know, it's very interesting. I did an article on From Suffrage to Me Too, and Vesta Kosakes, who, you know, is the publisher.
Former publisher.
she's an acting publisher. But anyway, she had me write on that suffrage, From Suffrage to Me Too. And I wrote about Brenda Starr, and she called me, and she told me, she said, oh, my God, you mentioned Brenda Starr. And she started telling me how Brenda Starr was her mentor. And I tried to figure out, why didn't I follow Brenda Starr? Well, it turned out my father was a union man, and only the L.A. Times, the Times had. We couldn't read the Times because it wasn't union. So it was interesting to hear about Brenda Starr, the impact that cartoon character, that a comic strip had on Vesta. It was amazing to me. By the way, the Gazette is on the street now, folks, so make sure you pick it up. So who were some of your mentors?
Until I was adult, I don't think I really had a strong, other than my grandmother, who was like the angel that lived on this earth and was the most wonderful person I ever knew. My first really career was as a Chamber of Commerce exec. I was in Orange County, and I was really learning my way around. And the CEO of the California Chamber called me one day, and he said, I want you to take over this small business committee for the state chamber. And I thought, I've never done anything like that. And I said, John, I can't do that. And he said, yes, you can. He said, I believe in you. You can do it. And so it's like that kind of gave me the courage to, I can do that. You know, I threw my shoulders back. And the other I was thinking is, as I was thinking about coming here today, my mother always said, honey, you're going to be a really good social secretary. My father, on the other hand, said, she should be in Congress.
My mother used to say I had to marry a doctor.
So right. And so that was her era. I mean, I got my divorce, she said, I was taught that a bad marriage is better than no marriage. And I said, I can't live that way. That's just not an option. But when I moved to Sonoma County, the woman that I met that I had such respect and admiration for was Dorothy Hutchinson.
Oh, Dorothy.
And Dorothy was Henry Trione's right hand. I mean, through Empire College. And she was, she was his secretary at one point when he was in the bank. And then she moved her way up to be president of Empire College. And she was the most delightful woman. And she was so graceful. And she was so effective and so approachable. She was one that I tried to emulate. And I don't know if it'll come up, but she and I in the late 80s were kind of singled out. We were the first two women that were invited to join Rotary. And the joke about the Rotarians were, oh, no, the Supreme Court's telling us we have to admit women. And so they had a short list of women that they thought, well, maybe they'll be acceptable into our little club. And so Dorothy and I were the first two women, and it was quite an experience.
That's interesting. What year was that?
I think it was 88.
So the Rotary did not have any women prior?
They didn't. The Supreme Court ruled that they had to admit women.
That's right. You have to force these guys.
And now, our first meeting, we walked in, and it was like there were three different groups. It was like, you're coming to ruin our male little gathering here, or is it okay to kiss a Rotarian, or welcome to the club, and you're going to ruin everything. And any of them that was there then will tell you, Rotary's never been better.
But how, at that moment in time, how did you overcome that? I mean, you knew you were being discriminated against. You knew it was a forced appointment.
Right.
How did you overcome it?
I have a motto about being dumb and stupid. And so it's not like being dumb. It's just like sometimes you want to ignore the negative. And so I would go and try to sit with those folks that I knew were really anti, that didn't want to have women, and developed relationships with them. And once we did that, it worked well.
What a great point. Ignore the negative.
Right.
You know, it's like you know it's there. You know it's an issue.
Right.
But at the same time, you've been put in a position where you can overcome that and you can make the way for other people. So that is some good advice. Ignore the negative.
But, right? You know, I think you're spot on, Sharon, because I've been in plenty of situations where I'm the only woman. Law enforcement is a male-dominated profession. And when I was elected, I was one of 11 women out of 58 counties.
Right.
But you don't ignore it. You just look past it. And you
that's
focus
a better,
on
yeah,
the positive.
Much better term.
Because you have to be aware of it.
Yeah,
otherwise,
that's what I mean.
It's
you're aware
gonna
of it.
Knock you on the back of your head, and you'll be down on the ground. But I think that that women who have succeeded in male-dominated settings, generally, we just keep focusing on the future.
Right.
And just as you had people that you emulated, you now are somebody who's a touchstone for them as they rise up. I mean, look at our city council in Santa Rosa now. All the wonderful women who have and are serving. Same on the board of supervisors, and in many other settings. And Tomorrow's Leaders Today, fantastic organization, really great work that is being done with our youth.
Well, you know, it's interesting when I get discouraged or, you know, all of a sudden I have an issue that I have to move forward on and I know maybe I'm going to get a lot of flack, I read up on Ida B. Wells.
Mm-hmm.
I think of what she went through and I think to myself, come on, Elaine, this is a piece of cake.
Right.
Well, I think it's time that we're going to take, after we have this little conversation, we're going to take a little musical break and I'm going to play one of my favorite songs here. It's called Standing on the Shoulders. It is International Women's History Month, and so we have to recognize that we are standing on the shoulder of many, many great women who did exactly what Sharon and Jill did. They looked past the negative and they just kept moving forward, and what they did is they made the way for many of us. I know for myself, when I came on the radio, I was probably one of only three women in the whole United States that even ventured to have a women's show with women's music. So I understand that process very well. So let's listen to Standing on the Shoulders, and then when we come back, we will continue our conversation with District Attorney Jill Ravitch and Sharon Wright, former mayor of the Santa Rosa City Council.
Standing on the shoulders of the ones who came before me, I am stronger for their courage, I am wiser for their words. I am lifted by their longing for a fair and brighter future. I am grateful for their vision, for their toiling on this earth. We are standing on the shoulders of the ones who came before us. They are saints and they are humans. They are angels, they are friends. We can see beyond the struggles and the troubles and the challenge, when we know that by our efforts things will be better in the end. Their passion for our liberty. I will stand a little taller, I will work a little longer, and my shoulders will be there to hold the ones who follow me. Fly. lives will be there to hold the ones who follow me.
Yes, we are all standing on the shoulders of many, many great women. I'm standing on the shoulders of my grandmother, Rose Dorfman. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and I want to continue my conversation with District Attorney Jill Ravitch and Sharon Wright, former mayor of the Santa Rosa City Council. And go ahead. So let's start this segment as, what were some of your most memorable moments? And I know you have a good story that you'd like to tell us here.
I do want to share this story, especially given the women's history in this Women's Month. In 1996, I was mayor, and we were invited to become a sister city to it's actually an island off the southern tip of Korea, and they call it Honeymoon Island, Jeju. And beautiful. It mirrors Sonoma County with our environment and the temperature, et cetera, et cetera. And
let me just say something. Okay. You know, I wrote about that. I believe it was the gentleman who owns the Omelet Express that had been involved.
Right.
In it.
Yeah, he was involved. And so we went over to do the signing, and it was quite a formal big deal. Because they call it Honeymoon Island. So people came over from Seoul and the mainland to cover this great event. And I noticed there weren't very many women around, and the mayor was he's like almost like a congressman, because it's for a population or a community that's about the size of Sonoma County. And the only women I saw were sales clerks or waitresses. So as we were leaving, and he and I became very good friends as the years progressed, we're sitting in the VIP room of Korean Airlines, and he said, for the first time in the history of our country, we're going to have a democratic election. And I said, well, good for you. That's great. And he said, but we're going to allow women to vote. And I said, good for you. That's great. And he said, but how do I get the women's vote? Because that's going to be very important, because what we're hearing is they're not going to listen to their husbands. And I said, well, I said, you need to do something. You need to make a gesture. I said, I looked around and I don't see anyone on your staff, because he had secretaries of all the different things. No one's a woman. And he said, except the interpreter. And he said, no. And I said, then you need to make a very clear gesture and statement by appointing a woman to your staff. To that, all the other men in the room kind of leaned forward. And he said, I'm not sure I can do that. And I said, you must. And he did. And I was so proud of him that he did that. He ended up naming two or three later. He was elected by a landslide.
Oh, good thing.
And he stood this woman up that he brought on his staff, and he said, she's the most appropriate one for this job. That made me really proud.
It's a great
story.
You
hear that?
Great.
You hear that, ladies? You hear how much power we have?
Yep.
How about your memorable moment? And we're almost coming to the end of the segment.
You know what? Every day brings a memorable moment. And I just want to take a second and thank you, because we're standing on your shoulders to a great mm-hmm. extent, too. All that you have done for this community, not only through your radio show, but all of your activism. And you have pushed me at times in ways I didn't want to be pushed, but I respect you for it. So I think that memorable moments occur in the strangest of places at the strangest of times. And I do think that the most important thing for us to remember is that we want to keep encouraging others to step up, get involved, and be their best. That's what makes Sonoma County such a special place to live and work.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much. You just threw me off, Jill, when you did that.
She's absolutely right.
Well, thank you. No, thank you.
We're looking forward to coming to your 80th birthday party, so don't forget to invite us.
What I'm doing is, believe it or not, we're having the National Organization for Women meeting, and then we're going to just have a little family gathering. This year, for some reason, it's just all reflection. Well, we're coming to the end of our segment here, and so are there any last things? I mean, I think that the best advice. You know, women have got to step up, especially when I heard you tell that story. Here he appoints the women and he has a landslide. And I got to say something about this last election. We need to have a better showing. We need to have more people. We need to have a 99% showing. I mean, we live in a democracy, and that's what makes us a democracy, the fact that we can choose our leadership. It's not pushed upon us.
And, you know, don't forget the Women's March, right? We were all there. Mm-hmm. We were there in January. We got to remember that energy and carry it forward.
And carry that we do have power, you know, and it's not vicious power. It's movement. It's people power. It's very important. So any last words from both of you? Anything you'd like to share that you may not have covered during this conversation, which I really appreciated? Lots to learn.
It's been fun.
It's been fun, and I just want to echo is don't be afraid to step out and just do it. I know a couple of times I've thought, I'm scared to death, I can't do it, and like, I'm going to do it. What's the worst that's going to happen? And you kind of break through that barrier, and it just gives you so much confidence and so much power and so much drive to take the next step. So just do it, and thanks so much for having us.
I always say the other side of fear is faith in yourself.
Right.
Faith to move forward, faith to keep it going. Well, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, Sharon Wright, for being here on Women's Spaces, and also you, Jill Ravitch. You both are very, very, very welcome to Women's Spaces. Anytime there's any announcements or any issues going on, you know, please feel free to let me know. Well, folks, that's it for our show. You know, I mean, I'm just thrilled to have these two women on. I mean, so many good ideas, so many good examples. You know, I mean, it's really an honor to be doing the show, and you know, and to even be having a birthday so soon. You know, I want to remind everybody that our children are the future. We must never lose sight of that. Very, very important. Children are so important. And if also just to let you know, I am available for speeches if you need someone to give a good speech or to have an event, that I'm happy to be there. Also, all the information that we gave here today is on Women's Spaces at www.womenspaces. You know, all programs are archived. You know, it's very important. This is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, March 9th, 2020.